You're listening to the Friday Morning Show. I'm Heidi Holton with Malachi Coons. It's 8:37. Coming up, a chat with Amy Thielen. We've been talking about moms and grandmas and the things that they say and taking texts from you, 218-326-1234, as we head into Mother's Day weekend. We also heard from our friend Ron from Baxter saying, Heidi and Malachi on Friday morning, a great combo to kick off the weekend.
Thanks, Ron.
For the smiles. Here's a good kickoff for us for the weekend. We've got our friend Amy Thielen back with us. She is the host of Ham Radio. She's a James Beard Award-winning cookbook author from Two Inlets, and her cookbooks are The New Midwestern Table and Company. Amy, are you with us? I think we're seeing a photo of her grandmother, but she's joining us via Zoom.
Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Good morning.
Hey, Amy.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, if you move a little bit, is that a picture of your grandma right behind you?
That's Aaron's. That's Aaron's grandmother.
Aw. Nice.
That's me as a cheerleader. Look at that.
Ooh. It's so fun to zoom.
No, my mom, my grandmother's on the other side.
Yeah, one of our question of the week has been things that, what are some phrases or some things that your mom or grandma said often? Do you have any? Have any you can share with us that are acceptable for radio?
Yeah, my grandma had a lot of those. Canarching, kvetching, knitchling.
What do they mean?
You know, kind of. Canarching means like kind of just being vaguely dissatisfied and being kind of annoying. Like kids kind of canarch around. They're kind of moon around or complain. Knitchling is definitely physical. So that's like one time I remember vividly sharing a bed with my grandmother for some reason. You know, I was like a kid and yep. I don't know. I had to sleep with her and oh, she's like, stop knitchling. And that's like, you know, leg movement and
okay.
So yeah, fidgeting. Yeah.
Fidgeting.
And then kvetching is, you know, just complaining. But canarching and kvetching are kind of really similar and, you know, kind of an Eastern European Czech thing. She had a lot of bohemian roots. So when I got to New York, when I lived in New York for a while, it was like, it sounds a lot like the Yiddish Jewish kind of, you know, phrases of grandmothers too. Pretty similar.
Well, Amy, I want to talk with you, you know, because it's Mother's Day weekend and to celebrate moms and grandmas. But first, I think you need to get a few things off of your chest. You're having quite the problem in your kitchen.
Oh, yes. I texted you yesterday. I texted Heidi to tell her that I was washing dishes in my bathtub because we had like, have you ever had a massive plumbing problem, like not just like a little bit, but this is, the pipes are clogged completely, and it appears that the other times in the past couple years that they've been here to, you know, unclog something, they told me they've just been making a hole in the center of what is 12 feet of solid grease. So how did I do that, Heidi? How did I do that?
You're not just, you're not pouring your bacon fat down the sink.
Yeah.
Well, apparently so. I mean, I guess I didn't think I was.
Yeah.
But,
you wouldn't think, I mean, that just washing, I mean, obviously some grease comes off of everything, even if you're getting rid of the main part of the grease. But wow, that's impressive.
Yeah. And, you know, I have a lot of other people doing dishes here, too. And I mean, I keep a like really hot sink, you know, sudsy. And then I let it all go down at the same time because I know that kind of flushes the pipes. Right. Yep. But anyway, yeah, it's like we're prepped for a colonoscopy here with these pipes. They're all replaced. He replaced them all.
Wow.
He like cut them.
Oh,
did the plumber say like, this is the worst I've ever seen? Or what were the plumber's thoughts?
He was kind of, you know, he was sort of like saying that, yes, basically. And I'm like, wow, I'm either just really bad or just like kind of dumb, or I'm like, I do a lot of cooking. Okay. But let me tell you, there's not going to be one scrap of fat that is going down now. Yeah. And it made me think, though, of like my mom and my grandmother and their grease can. I don't know if any of you grew up with like anybody who had a grease can under the sink.
I don't
really, you know what I'm talking about?
No,
I think, yeah, I think I did my not. Grandmother did. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Not my mom, though, for some reason. So they were just out like a Folgers coffee can?
Well, right. Something like that, yeah. But with like a metal lid. In fact, I found one at Linda's Antiques last year that was really cute. And it actually just said, it was like, grease, you know, super adorable. And, you know, it's just kind of like a catch-all for, yeah, and things like flavorful grease that you want to save and actually do something with. So it's not, This is not your refuse grease.
I see.
This is like saving, oh gosh, let's say you do a roast or something and, you know, that beef fat mm-hmm. is really good. Okay. People fry, yes. You know, over like in Britain, they fry fries and that and stuff.
How long can grease sit there like that?
That's what I always wondered. Because I remember going to a friend's house.
Yeah, that's... Mm-hmm.
Oh, sorry. And for the first time, I wasn't used to that. And I remember I went to my friend Jeremy's house for the first time in high school. And on their stove, like on one of the back burners, was just a big thing of grease that was used to cook more stuff. And then things were... It was like, you know, it just kept going. And I remember thinking, how does this work? So, Amy, how long can you keep your grease going?
Well, that's exactly it. You know, that's the thing. And I think it's, you know, I've always kept bacon fat in a little kind of ramekin on my counter for years since I've lived here. I mean, even when I lived in New York. So that it keeps, you know,
yeah,
it's kind of hard and it keeps just fine. It doesn't turn. It's probably more stable than butter, I would say. So, honestly, it's probably pretty safe.
Yeah.
All
right. It's the mixing of it. As long as it's all fat and not, if it's like really actually fat and not liquid, probably safer than some of the processed stuff that we eat, you know?
Okay.
But.
And it gives it that good flavor.
Yeah. I mean, you could always keep it in a person could keep it in the refrigerator rather than like under the kitchen sink, you know, if you want
to.
You're fine. That's fine.
We just heard totally from fine. Nicole, who says her mom still has the grease can. So there you go. So, Amy.
Awesome.
So you're all good, though. You can now wash again and you'll have new rules for yourself in terms of how you're going to wash.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to make some of those signs, you know, like those, you guys know those red and white, those signs that are above salad bars, you know?
Yeah.
That just have all the rules and they're just like, there's a specific look to them. They're either red or blue and they're just like, don't double dip, do this. And I want to have that, I want to make that right by the sink, you know, like no doing dishes, like in the style. I have to come up. What is this? You tell me, what is the style of doing dishes where you just put the dishes in the sink and then you just like drizzle the detergent over the stuff like icing or something. And then you just run hot water on it and do it. What is that called? I call it dad style, but I think that's not very nice.
Yeah.
What is it?
I don't know what that is either. I'm not a fan of that one at all. I need a scalding hot tub of soapy water. That's the only way I'll do it. So.
Right.
But I like call it dad dishes.
So,
yeah. Maybe you're calling
dad it style.
My style, because I do that. I'm just going to.
Do you have a disposal? Do you have like a little, you know, what are those things called?
Strainer? Drainer?
No, like a
garbage disposal.
I don't have a garbage disposal. Right. But I mean, I clean it out.
A wah is a disposal.
That's what I call them because I actually hate those things.
Yeah.
I never had one growing up and I still have never had one. And I always am trying to turn people's lights on. It's like middle of the night. You know, you're staying at someone's house. You're trying to get a glass of water and you just flick a switch and all of a sudden just.
There we go.
I hate it. It scares the crap out of me every time. So.
And Okay. Heidi, do you have one of those?
No, I don't. There was one when we bought the house, but we took it out.
Oh.
Right away.
You chose not
We're
to
not
have it.
Allowed to have them.
Right.
You know, I think it's a rural thing.
Those are illegal?
No, it's...
What? They're everywhere.
If you... Do you live in the country, Malachi?
Newly, yes. But there isn't a garbage disposal. I grew up in the country and there wasn't one at my parents'
yeah,
house.
Yeah, they don't allow them.
Yeah. In rural
They don't
places.
Allow in the country.
Oh, because yeah. so much junk just goes down into the...
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
City folk apparently can do it, but not us rural folks.
I think it's got to do with the septic.
Okay.
Yeah.
Something.
They terrify me every time.
Oh my gosh. So no wah for the
It's the middle
the
of the night. You just
people.
Want to get a little light on. And, okay. Anyways.
I told you we'd have some fun today. We're talking to Amy Thielen. Ham Radio is going to be coming back at the end of June, and we're very excited about that. We've got some texts coming in. Malachi, are you watching the text line there?
Yes. We Lisa said... Okay, yeah, no, that was the bacon grease one, and then we heard
we didn't read that
we didn't
one
get
yet.
That one.
Yep.
My mother was a bacon grease saver too. She had a small crock near the stove, especially for that. Yeah, I gotta start saving it. I feel like I usually try and just cook the next item in the bacon grease like right after I do bacon, just because I for some reason. But I'm just gonna start storing it. And then we also heard Megan, this is about our style of dishwashing that we were saying.
Oh,
yeah. She said my mom would call it doing a bleep job.
Oh,
so that is
that would be fun on your sign, wouldn't it?
Yeah, permanently. Yeah,
I think that would be very, very good.
People are really bad with signs, though. You know, you put up signs that says like recycling here, trash here, and people just ignore it, I find. But maybe the people in your household, Amy, are a little more reliable when it comes to. Direction.
Maybe if you swear at them and make it funny, it's like it really hits home.
let's talk a little bit. Let's move into some food stuff because I want to hear some of your memories of. I know you come from a line of cooks, that's for sure. Your mom, your grandmas, the people before you. Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Yeah, it made you think about outdoor cooking, didn't it?
Yes, because yesterday as we were texty talking, I was thinking about all the ways that, you know, for the last couple of days, it was, I just had to be really creative to try to find ways to cook without making many dishes because doing them in the tub is really annoying. And so that kind of thing, you know, we're cooking outside. I was thinking about, you know, times back in the when I was a kid, when, you know, the lights would go out or maybe when we'd be camping too, just how I was always amazed by how my mom could make so much out of such simple circumstances or compromised situations. I mean, her camping was steaks on the fire with hash browns and all that stuff. So, but I remember when the lights went out at the lake cabin and the power went out and we had these pudgy pie makers. Do you know what those are?
No.
Or we called them pudgy pie, but really what it is
go
is
over
that
the
pie iron.
Oh. Yeah, so go over the fire.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, they kind of go in the fire a bit. Mm-hmm. You butter each side of bread, you fill it with something, you close the maker. It's a little like square thing and you shove it into the coals and cook it. Yeah. We did a lot of that kind of thing. She was really, really, really resourceful. And the other thing I'm thinking about is bacon grease. She would save her bacon grease for a week or two, whatever, get a lot of it, like maybe a cup. And then on Sunday, she would make what she called grease eggs, which all the kids are jumping and crying, grease eggs, yeah! But it's like, they're really good, okay?
They sound
it's
good.
Bacon fat in the pan, and then you drop, you know, the eggs in there, and then you... over quite high heat and then kind of shake the pan so that the bacon fat rolls over the eggs and they just puff up and the edges get all, it's like deep frying an egg. Good.
Wow.
Okay.
Oh, let's
That'll be on my list of things to try this weekend.
What? Tell me about the hash browns over the fire when you're camping.
Yeah. I mean, she would bring... I think she would have the potatoes shredded and, you know, she would bring cast iron pans. Like this is not the kind of cooking that is light enough to pack through the wilderness. This is car camping, you know, But big steaks that she'd have custom cut so they're thick enough. And
a crispy hash bone?
Oh, yes. Tons of butter. Okay. Also some of the fat from the steak. Oh, yeah. Really. Oh, and then what else? Like asparagus. I mean, it was like a steakhouse out there. We ate well, and then the next day it'd be whatever fish we hopefully caught.
There you go. Yeah. What about your grandma? What kind of things do you remember from your grandma's kitchen or meals she might make?
I mean, so many things.
I know.
She was just like, as my mom said, like what I wrote about in my first book, it was a lot about my grandma. And my mom sort of clarified for me recently. She's like, you know, grandma didn't really cook that much. She just talked about cooking, you know, and she did make a lot of cool stuff for the grandkids, but it wasn't very elaborate. And she also had a way of kind of just selling it like as an experience. So, and it did make it taste. She made this really good bread, you know, like that white, no whole wheat. She thought whole wheat was just, I don't know. That was some sort of hippie thing, you know. It was white flour was the modern flour. And but she made a really, really, really good bread, like homemade bread. So just that very, with potato water. And it was really, you know, that like white Midwestern. It's a very Midwestern thing, I think. Right?
Mm-hmm.
White bread?
Anyway.
Yeah, or I guess.
Yeah, just.
Oh.
Is that not true? I mean, maybe it's everywhere, but it.
I don't know. I thought everybody was into white bread.
That's true.
I was going to say now, I feel like whole wheat is like white people stuff.
Yeah. But this was that lofty kind of farmy bread, you know? Mm-hmm. She grew up on a farm. And then she'd slice it and make pickle sandwiches from fermented pickles that she always made.
What goes on a pickle sandwich? Yeah, but like, tell us more.
Well, it has to be fermented pickles. So the ones that we can buy that are called Bubbies. Do you like Bubbies? Anybody?
Do you buy I've those? Seen
those
them, but
fermented.
I haven't had them before.
I don't know if I know.
Yeah.
But I like fermented things. So they're at most grocery stores, Bubbies fermented pickles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're at Harmony. They're at all the stores at this point. And it's, you know, it's that traditional fermented pickle. It's the kind of thing that people have sides. They're either vinegar or ferment.
Mm.
You know, the fermented ones are really sour. I like those. Anyway, so she'd slice those thinly, and then it would be just tons of good butter. And she always got her butter from this place down the road. So like every little piece of this very simple thing was elevated or special and talked about. And iconic, you know.
You know, Amy, I recently saw, I was making some stuff. A friend of mine gave me the inside of a cookbook because, you know, I like to cut things up and make things out of paper, right? So I didn't even know what cookbook it was, but it was like from the 50s. And I'm looking through some of the recipes there. And for some reason, celery was just like the main star, which just made me laugh so hard because we think of celery as providing some taste or being part of the beginnings. But they had speaking of white bread is why I thought of it, a celery sandwich that was like cut off the crust of a piece of white bread, put in some celery and butter and roll it up. Like it was like this taste treat. And I was just like, what was happening then? I guess maybe it was a cost saving thing or something.
Yeah, maybe celery, you know, think about at the time, some of these, the way that they were making celery and packaging it and selling it as something that people could always have was probably new-ish.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've kind of come back to celery. I kind of like celery, Heidi.
I do.
Yeah. You do too. Yeah.
I do. I'll still do bumps in a log every once in a while. What? Or ants on a log.
Yeah.
What's it called? Bumps on a log? That's a band, isn't it? I'm getting confused
bumps
here.
Bumps on a log. Yeah.
Yeah. Ants on a log. There we go.
Huh.
You ever do that?
I don't like the ants part. I do like I like cream cheese in celery or peanut butter in celery. I do like that. My grandma always served that before the Thanksgiving meal. It was like very fancy to have these celery sticks with stuff in it. I enjoy it as well. I just was surprised to see it be the main star, you know, of multiple. I don't remember what the other recipes were, but it is a great, great flavor for sure.
Bumps. Yeah, I fill those sometimes with boursin cheese. Have you ever done that?
Ooh.
No.
No, but
yeah.
Talk about fancy.
Oh, well, so fancy. Yeah. No. But they're fun to fill, you know? They're kind of fun to make.
Yeah, it makes it more of like a...
Do you ever grow celery?
I have tried many times to grow celery.
Yeah.
Just
try it. Without much success. Mm. I've grown it. It's just stunted. But the leaves are worth it alone because they have a ton of flavor. And they're beautiful in salads, like chopped up. Yeah. I love the flavor of that in the salad. It's with the yellow leaves on the inside from you know, something from the store. But otherwise, just leaf celery from the garden is good.
Huh. Yeah, I do love those inside. That's sort of a newer thing for me. I think I grew up thinking that's the part you don't eat in celery. Mm. And I love it. I love to put, made something, you just want a little extra sparkle and you put that on the top. It's so good. Amy, we have run out of time, but the good news is Ham Radio, we're in talks. We're in the works for it. Yeah. It's coming back at the end of June, and it's going to be a lot of fun. How about you for Mother's Day? Got any plans? You can cook again. I mean, hopefully you don't have to cook for yourself on Mother's Day, unless you want to.
You know what? Everything's been kind of put on hold because of this. And, you know, I was going to go see my mom, but I don't know. It's a 4-hour drive.
Yeah.
We'll see. Sorry, Mom, might not make it. Might be cleaning and putting back the kitchen.
Oh, boy.
Probably going out to eat. Our tradition is to go to buy plants and flowers on Mother's Day.
Lovely.
Sounds good. That's Amy Thielen. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll talk soon.
Thanks for having me. Good to see you guys.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Amy is a James Beard Award-winning cookbook author and host of Ham Radio on KEXE. If you didn't catch it last year, it's still available as a podcast. Find links at kexe.org.